I'm Lizanne Flynn. I'm a master healer who holds space for any earthling as they reunite body and soul in their planetary experience. I'm a bridge for relationships between all species so that the heart bond becomes stronger, deeper, and more loving. I serve in the roles of animal communicator, medium, and medical intuitive, and I use the tools of shamanic journeying and soul retrieval to support all earthlings in their recovery from past trauma. I'm certified as a Reiki master teacher and as a canine massage therapist. This is the Animal's Eye View podcast. In looking back over my podcasts over the last, I think it's 2, 3, maybe 3.5 years, I wanted to be sure I wasn't repeating myself or the animals with today's podcast topic of adoption. I found that I had done a couple in 2021 about the energetic resetting process an animal goes through when coming into a new household, and about how it just takes time for them to begin to show the true aspects of their personality and temperament after adoption. It's a bit of a you get what you see and be careful what you asked for combined, right? There may be past traumas for that animal to work through based on soul path, which they may have deliberately chosen in their new family, which may seem odd to us at first. We might ask, well, so if they've had issues with men before, why would they choose a home with only males in it? Or we were told they don't get along with younger dogs, which is what we have, yet everybody seems to be getting along so well. Cue the settling in period, maybe love at first sight, where the younger dogs are concerned, and in the first scenario with only males in the home, an awareness on the part of the animal that in this lifetime, this is an issue that is coming up for resolution. Both situations have soul paths and soul contracts underlying the why of this particular soul actively choosing these other souls in this particular planetary experience. That's how it happens. And again, to us in the human world, it may seem like kismet or coincidence or unplanned in our experience. And that's because we aren't aware of the bigger picture of the overarching dimension of energy, capital E, on Earth. We're good within our own third dimension, mostly, although things still happen here that we aren't sure of the why, and the animals would say, you're wasting your time with the why when you can simply be enjoying the what is. They have such a lovely and deceptively simple perspective, and I say deceptively because at first glance we might think, surely there are other things to control, to be aware of, and to plan for, because we're big on that, you know. A resounding nope is what the animals reply, and of course, they have at their disposal the past, present, and future dimensions, where past lives may come into play, for instance, as well as future lives. The biggest caveat, I think, is that they don't separate out the good from the bad from any experience. It just simply is for them and their experience, which is where we really have an issue, because humans generally only want the fluffy clouds, the sunshine, and the good times. Not on this planet, the animals say. Go somewhere else to live out that fantasy. Ouch. And I think they have, of course, as always, a point worth considering. There was another podcast about adopting that I also did in 2021, and I'll put the links to those in the podcast notes just in case you're interested, on whether to adopt an animal from a shelter versus buying one from a breeder that blurred the difference between those two, because that's not the applicable question, really. It's a question of whether, as a being in human-animal experience, are you ready to serve another being's highest and best good in their animal experience? That likely touched on the fit into a family unit of a being in animal experience into an already existing and hopefully cohesive family. You know, not dissimilar to humans sometimes thinking, well, if we have a baby, that will make our relationship better, right? We might also sometimes think, well, Fido / Fluffy seems bored and I'm gone at work for so many hours in a day. Maybe they'll be less lonely and less destructive if I get another dog / cat for them to play with, right? Or Fido and Rufus don't really get along well together since we combined households last summer. Maybe another dog or cat will help them to like each other more. And maybe at the outset you're thinking, oh gee, all of these scenarios have plus minus to them. It could go really well, and then again, it could go really wrong. And you'd be right. Because they're all analogies, I think, for wanting to balance out what we humans mostly see as contrast with some light. Sure, an adorable baby will fix everything, and which, as an analogy, you might think I'm mixing my metaphors and or species, yet it is still an addition of a whole other sentient being, complete with their own baggage and soul path, pretty much the same as another warm, loving, huggable dog or cat will fix other contrasts of bored and or destructive behavior and or not getting along well together. And let's not forget about wanting to adopt a replacement animal, perhaps for a geriatric one who has already entered into their window of transition. The same what-ifs would apply. They could feel misplaced if Ms. or Mr. Sprightly Younger Dog comes in with all of their energy when your queen or king of the animal household is already feeling some physical discomfort or emotional bandwidth narrowing that naturally occurs across species with the physical aging process. Then again, it might be the elixir of youth that is exactly what your older companion animal needs. Sure, you might have already thought or exclaimed outright, well, Lizanne, I would never think of replacing Susie or Maxie, and I'm offended you would even suggest that. Which is what I've been told more times than not during a client session, and yet, don't forget, that pesky language slash dimension of energy that is either on or off and doesn't really care what is present because it just simply is. Sound familiar? Meaning, I'd likely already heard from Susie or Maxie that they are feeling replaced because of the timing of the adoption and or because you, dear human, are wanting to avoid the contrast or at least cushion the blow of the contrast of Susie or Maxie's fast approaching transition. You know how we roll, guys. We're usually looking for an escape pod from contrast in our experience, and honestly, our animals see through it every single time. They understand our feelings so much better than we do because they don't ignore them. They can't ignore them because of their main language being energy. It makes so much more sense to them to deal with it directly, to ask questions, to get it all out in the open, even if everyone is feeling vulnerable, and then to move on to the place where everyone feels better. In other words, adoption is a roll of the dice, no matter the species, and I still think the right relationship question is, how will I be serving the needs of those for whom I am guardian? And you all know my fondness for words and for spelling and for sound resonance. A guardian by name is so very different than the owner of a quote-unquote, by definition, kept animal. A guardian protects and guides and serves, not unlike a guardian angel. One of my often used phrases when working with clients in terms of adopting a new companion animal that maybe isn't working out so well with the animals already in the home is, so what if your partner came home one day with another human in tow and said, look, honey, I adopted a new wife slash husband slash partner for us. Isn't that great? What do you think? I just know you're going to be the bestest of friends. And that usually gets the attention of the human guardian with a laugh, a moment of chagrin, which I will feel, and a pretty quick perspective reset of the animal's point of view. Because honestly, that's just what the animals say is the perfect mirror to a human guardian's intention to adopt without talking about it with the whole family first. It'd be like husbands, wives, or partners were being offered a 35% discount, for instance, at Whole Foods or Amazon or Target, and maybe in some places a 2-for-1 special, because we love a bargain, right? We do that with adoption fees or with overcrowded shelters, and in fact, that's how I ended up with Hunter and Lil D. Yes, the shelter said they were bonded with each other since Lil D came into the shelter and Hunter had been returned to the shelter, and yes, it was during the pandemic. I'd been without animals for almost 2 years, and yes, I fostered first and then adopted both for the cost of one. I would say without exception that we gladly pay the cost of the adoption fees, knowing that this helps support the livelihoods of the shelter staff and the supplies the shelter uses to keep animals safe and healthy pending our adoption of them. And to be sure, I'll throw myself under the bus with my current animals. I remember becoming really emotional and saying out loud, "Why am I depriving myself of more animal love?" And I think part of it had to do with the transitions of my former cats, Kiki and Lacey, and Casbah before them, as well as taking stock of where I was at on my own life path, meaning I would likely outlive them, so that's good, and it wouldn't place an undue burden on my sons to take care of them. So wanting both contrast and light to be in good balance with each other. And you know, all things considered, there's an old adage that says there's no perfect time to have a baby. And I can hear the guardians who might say, "We love giving animals a home. We care for and honor each of them individually and know that our home is their home for as long as they're going to be with us." If that's how you authentically are, and because this needs to be right relationship with your animal companions, they would echo that. And then I would say energy wouldn't have a disagreement with you because there's resonance and not dissonance. There's also no defined waiting period after the transition of a companion animal to adopt, and you'll get no judgment from me in human experience. You might, however, perhaps get some fairly strong feedback or pushback from an animal companion who is already a member of your family if there are some steps put into place first or shortly thereafter that makes everyone's adjustment to a new family member the most balanced it can possibly be. I would add into this place having a celebration of life ceremony, no matter how long it's been, for the most recent companion animal that's already transitioned. Perhaps you still have their cremains. I would encourage you to take just a teaspoonful of those cremains, take them out to a favorite hiking spot or a favorite resting place in your yard, and to have a real celebration of life ceremony so that the cycle is complete and so that everyone knows that we are honoring the open grieving of that animal companion's transition. Again, it's about the transparency of the soul ripples that sometimes cause gentle waves and sometimes cause class 4 or 5 rapid waves, as in a river, throughout the life of a family. Plus, there's a reason why we call it adoption, which by definition is to take someone or something by choice into a relationship. We all are in a relationship with a sentient being of a different species. And we didn't even touch on all the other species today, just the furry ones. There are also the scaled ones, the feathered ones, the finned ones, etc. The more you can see yourself holding space for them, as well as for you, because you are in charge of their lives as well as your own, the better. Humans must come first, so that your calmness, your confidence, and your comfort paves the way for them to follow your lead. And so that when you think about having, for instance, 2 cats and 2 dogs once more after one of the 4 died, you might look a bit deeper than having a matched set of 2 again. Because as sure as I mostly know how this universe does its business, you are likely to get an entirely different personality than what the 3 remaining animals and you were used to the first time around. You're not being punished. It has everything to do with intention and the difference between I intend to get another cat to go with the one I already have versus I intend to get another cat for their highest and best good and mine. Don't leave you out of it either, because even if you say, Fido slash Fluffy needs a sibling to help them be not so destructive. You must come first, again, in considering another being for which you will be responsible and for which you also will need to build a relationship. It's not equitable to place that burden of getting along or not with Fido or Fluffy, or their destruction of the home due to boredom, just as an aside. That's on you. It's best to leave the Band-Aid approach to actual Band-Aids and skinned knees, I'm hearing, which has got to be the animal speaking, in their relative forthright and yet pithy and humorous way. So, before adoption, get really clear about the why. If it's just to save another animal, who are you to judge their soul path and that they're better off with you? It must be more concrete than that to include, why am I adopting this individual animal? What do I have that they need? What do they have that I need? How will this affect my animal subfamily group, as well as the human subfamily group, both being kind of like a Venn diagram within each other, with different needs and wants and places where they intersect? Is there anything that I'm trying to avoid in adopting this individual animal? What do I think will be added to our family by this adoption? What do I think will be subtracted from our family by this adoption? Energy has a most definite ripple effect. So when you're increasing your animal family members by 100% in the case of one animal, 200%, et cetera, you can anticipate that same factor will ripple elsewhere in your life, such as your finances, your responsibilities, the draw on your time. And of course, on the other side of the ledger, there's the same increase of more love, more compassion, more fun, more depth, and yes, more unseen FGOs, effing growth opportunities, for everything. The more transparent you can be in your why and intention process, the better it will be for every single member of your family. And I would start with talking with all of your animal companions just as you're listening now to my voice, what you're considering. You'll know in short order if they're up for it or not, and you'll likely know why if it's a no and why if it's a yes. If you're not sure, that's why animal communicators were born. So that you get a much clearer picture of what your beloved animal companion is thinking about you adding to your family, and you as guardian and human animal in charge will feel more confident and comfortable about proceeding. I am also a big fan of adoption ceremonies and renaming ceremonies should they arise, gathering everyone together and making a big deal out of the newest family member while making sure that all of the existing family members, as well as human family members, feel loved and cherished for their role in supporting the adjustment of the family overall. It could be that the heretofore youngest animal might hear, "Clifford, I am so happy to see how you're sharing your toys with Gabby, and I know how you feel about sharing your toys. I'm so proud of watching you grow and shift and help Gabby understand how to share." Now, y'all know that that might be a bit tongue-in-cheek, yet you'll also maybe agree that keeping it positive is what it's all about. The same goes for spending time with each family member by themselves and then all together as a group. We do such a disservice to animals when we do not act in a congruent way with each of them. That's so important that they experience our time and energy in a neutral and balanced fashion, because it goes a very long way in deepening their trust in you so that any little mini turf battles they may have with each other will be minor, because they know that you have everything, well, most everything, at least in my case, well in hand, and that allows them the freedom to disagree, which then helps them get out the little irritations before they become major relationship obstacles. If you happen to have not talked with existing family members before bringing home another family member, say an extra wife or husband or partner or dog, cat, slash iguana, I strongly encourage you to consider this. Hey, Nibbles, I see now where it would have been so much better for you and Trilby, our new family member, if I had talked with you before adopting her. I've learned a lot from that, and I want you to know that it won't happen again. I am so glad that you and I are together in this lifetime to share with Trilby the love that we have. You're not asking for permission if you talk with your family before. You're seeking consensus, as any leader might. And like any good leader, when you mess up, you accept responsibility and strive to do better for all members of your family group. That's what makes a family energetically cohesive, the animals say. Everyone has a role to play, and for humans, it is without exception one described as a leader who's equitable, open-minded, compassionate, open-hearted. No pressure, right? At least, that's how the animals see it. Thanks for listening today. Leave a review and be sure to subscribe to this podcast. I offer all new clients a free 15-minute consultation. To schedule online, go to lizanneflynn.com. Come and find me on social media, Facebook, X, Twitterverse, Instagram, and LinkedIn. I encourage you to sign up for my quarterly newsletter on my website, where I also post notices for upcoming events, the starting date of courses in the Animal's Eye View Academy, and online psychic fairs. The episodes of this podcast are available on my YouTube channel, complete with subtitles. You'll find that link in my podcast footer, and be sure to subscribe. This has been the Animal's Eye View podcast. I'll see you next time.